Hey y'all, it is I, Anthony the Canadian Guy, and welcome to WrestleSode, the solution to your wrestling information problems. WrestleSode is a member of the Wind Column Sports Networks. Remember to check us out at windcolumnsports.ca to be kept up to date on everything happening here in Alberta in the world of wrestling. Today, we are talking with Pure Power Wrestling's Cruiserweight Champion, Jumpin' Josh. Jumpin' Josh is a heck of a great interview, man. I had a lot of fun talking with him. The dude's about 3 years into the business right now, already a champion, already an amazing talent, and a great speaker, as you'll hear. So you're not going to want to miss this interview. But before we do get into that interview here today, just a couple things to note. A lot of events around Alberta, as everybody knows, have been postponed or canceled for right now due to the COVID-19 outbreak. A lot of the big different shows that were happening, Midget Wrestling Warriors were canceling from this week coming up. We had PPW and PWA canceling on the 28th. We've had Impact Superstar Rosemary canceling for RCW, who I know had to cancel some shows up north. I'm not quite too sure if their Calgary show on March 20th is postponed as of yet. I don't believe it is, but we'll see how that goes. Right now, the world is in a bit of a pandemonium with COVID-19, so just remember, everybody out there who's listening to this, stay safe, wash your hands. You've all heard the public service announcements at this point. You know, use social distance. Thing. That's what I did today with my interview because I didn't get a chance to get down to Lethbridge because of the snowstorm and this outbreak. So I did my interview over the phone today with Jumpin' Josh. So now, because there's no matches to plug right now, let's just get straight into our interview with Jumpin' Josh right after we hear from our sponsors over at the Wind Column Sports Network.
From Lanny McDonald to Daryl Sutter, Mark Messier to Cale Makar, before you're a star, you've got to make it in the AJHL. On Saturday mornings, TSN 1260 takes an in-depth look inside the Alberta Junior Hockey League. Join Tyler Yaremchuk from 9 to 10 a.m. for previews, reviews, and interviews from around the AJ. Inside the AJHL, Saturdays from 9 to 10 a.m. only on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
Hey everyone, Anthony back. I am joined by Jumpin' Josh, the PPW Cruiserweight Champion. Josh, how are you doing today, my friend?
Well, it's a little cold in Lethbridge today. I'm managing to keep warm, but I'm doing pretty good. Not a whole lot I can complain about, which is good.
That's always
doing pretty
good. Good. Yeah, it's a bit of a cold day. We got a bit of a snowfall down here in southern Alberta, I would say, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst all this like COVID-19 outbreak stuff, which has been canceling some shows around here, but
it has, yeah.
Hey, that gives us more time to talk, I suppose. Hey,
exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, we gotta, I guess, listen to the government a few times when they say you gotta close down some gatherings, but not a whole lot else you can do other than just kind of play the waiting game and wait for all this to slow down.
Of course, better safe than sorry, as they say.
Oh yeah, yeah.
100%. But let's talk a little bit about Jumpin' Josh. Josh, who is Jumpin' Josh? Where do you come from, my friend? A lot of people from at least the Calgary nor Edmonton area not as familiar with the Lethbridge scene down there. Who's Jumpin' Josh?
Well, I am a 20-year-old journalism student with a huge passion for pro wrestling. I've been wrestling now for just under 3 years.
Wow.
Started down here. I was trained by some of the PPW crew. Mainly, I've been sticking around Lethbridge. I've ventured out to Thrash for wrestling out there. I wrestled for Thrash. I've wrestled for Invasion Championship Wrestling.
Those are out in BC, correct?
Yep. Yeah. Down in the Okanagan there, in Kelowna, Vernon. Those. Really the biggest trip I made. I've made a trip up to RCW once. I would love to go back. But yeah, I've mainly just stuck around here.
That's awesome. So first off, Cruiserweight Champion, 20 years old. That's not an easy accomplishment, I think one can say to have. How the heck did you become a Cruiserweight Champion in just around 3 years of training, practice, wrestling?
Yeah, this was last September was my third year of actually like training. I began my training in September of 2016. Wow. So I've been training, just over 3 years, wrestling in front of an audience. I didn't have my first match until June of 2017. So really, it was just kind of, it came out of nowhere for me, honestly. I just did a whole lot of, I just worked hard, kept my nose down, minded my own business. And then I, sure enough, after a while, I'm getting an opportunity to wrestle, at the time, Travis the Heat Copeland for the Cruiserweight Championship. And I got pretty lucky in that one. And I, took home my first championship in, August of 2018.
Wow.
So that was the first one. And then, of course, I lost it the next month to Cowboy Bryn Watts. And then I took back the title in June of the next year. So it was a lot of just keeping my nose down and just working hard and hoping for the best.
Was this in that ladder match? I believe it was the ladder match.
It was in the ladder match. Yeah, that was the second title.
I do a little bit of homework once in a while. That's okay. Myself. As you know, as a journalist student, yeah, it's good to do your homework once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your training. So you said you trained down there in Lethbridge. So So you trained with the Pure Power Wrestling crew. In specific, did you have any like head trainers or anything?
I did, yeah. Both Sydney Steele and Kyle Sebastian had a huge amount of that. In fact, I think it was mainly the both of them that really helped me figure out who I was as a wrestler. I'm still figuring that out a little bit, but it was those two guys jump out immediately for the amount of help that they the amount of help and patience that they've shown for me is something I'm so grateful for. And they helped me train. They helped train me a lot. Another one was Bulldog McBain. He helped me train quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So under those three, really, were the main trainers for me.
Those are some impressive names to be training under. For instance, I know Sydney Steele needs no necessary introduction. The PPW Heavyweight Champion. Same with Kyle Sebastian is another example. Wrestles all around Alberta. We don't get to see him as much as I would like to, but like. To know that you trained under those two explains a lot of why you wrestle the way you do.
Yeah.
So I got introduced to you for the first time down at the PPW at the Power Rumble. And I got to say, the match that you had against Sydney Steele was my match of the night. It was a beautiful match. But I have a question for you. Not many 20-year-olds, I can say, are as comfortable on the microphone as you are.
Yeah.
Where do you get this confidence from? I've seen people twice your age stumble on like 10 times the amount of words. You don't, you're just pure confidence in that ring.
Well, part of it for me is it comes a lot of actually with my schooling. I've been extremely lucky to do a lot of cool things with my schooling outside of wrestling. And that has helped me tremendously with my confidence with a microphone in my hand. I got to do a lot of play-by-play for my school's volleyball and basketball teams.
Cool.
In fact, that show, actually, I was doing play-by-play that morning and then zipped over to our lovely German-Canadian club. So that was a bit of a crazy day, but a lot of it, yeah, comes from being in front of a camera a lot at school and just being myself to an extra level.
That's awesome. You know, sometimes when you're talking to somebody, you can kind of tell when they've got that like speaking background or where they've got that like that gravitas in their voice. Even at 20 years old, I can like hear that in your voice. I'm just like, that's very impressive. So let's talk a little bit more. So you've had a couple of different feuds over the years. Obviously, seems like Cowboy Bryn Watts has been a big one. Do you want to talk a little bit about the different feuds that you've had over the past? In the past,
sure. I can't really. There's only kind of a smaller number of them actually, because of course I worked with Cowboy Bryn Watts for the better part of a year almost.
Yeah.
So a lot of matches with him. I just finished up hopefully finished up with Ken Stevens there. And the way I kind of was brought into wrestling for PPW was actually with Kyle Sebastian. So I was reffing a tag team match between, I believe it was Kyle Sebastian and Bradley Graham against Sydney Steele and Tyler James, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And I interfered with that match and got on the bad side of Kyle Sebastian, and he and I had a match 2 months later.
So that's how it all started for you. That was your first match against Kyle Sebastian?
Yep.
So everybody always talks about their first match. Some people say that, oh, it was fine, it was okay. Most people will say that they had an absolute train wreck their very first time wrestling in front of people. Mm. Can you talk to me about your first time wrestling in front of an audience?
Yeah. So the first time I actually had an appearance in the ring that wasn't a referee position was actually in our Power Rumble 3 years ago. So it's pretty cool. I get to do a whole full circle almost as I went into our last show as the champion. So the first time I was ever in a ring wrestling, I was a surprise entrant in our Power Rumble a few years ago, and I got chopped a lot. I don't know the exact number, but there was a lot of identifiable fingerprints on my chest the next few days. But yeah, so there was that. That was my first time, like, kind of wrestling. It was still a rumble. You can't do a whole lot in those matches. But yeah, my first actual wrestling match was against Kyle Sebastian, and that was it was crazy. It was insane. I graduated high school the week before that match. Wow. So like Friday, I finished my classes. The next Saturday, I had this match. And then, the next Friday, I convocated high school. So that was an insane 2 weeks. So that kind of was like the cherry on top of everything for me that week. But yeah, it was, I'm sure at least my technicalities in the ring were not very clean and pretty, you could say. But I almost broke down into tears after that match because I was so like overwhelmed with emotion, because this was something that I've wanted to do for a very long time. And with the size that I am, I'm very, very aware of the difference in size I have with most opponents I get. It's a lot of, oh, you're too small, you can't do it. You'll never be able to do it. You're silly for wanting to do it. So it was, for me, I almost just completely broke down because I was so overwhelmed with emotion that, one, I finally have achieved a dream of mine and began a dream of mine. And I just got beat up a lot by Kyle Sebastian. But yeah, no, it was unreal. It's really hard for me to actually put it into words how I felt after that.
Well, that's a really great segue and transition into my next question. Let's wind it all the way back.
Sure.
What got you started in the love of wrestling, man?
Well, that's actually kind of a funny story in itself.
Well, I like funny stories.
I was about 8 years old or so. Maybe a little, give or take a few years. I went over to my friend Jordan's house at the time, and he says, I got something to show you. All right. He loads up WWE SmackDown versus Raw 2009 on his Wii. And we played that for about 4 hours or so. Like sun up, sun down, we played this freaking game. And it just totally captivated me. I was like, what is this thing that's so different from everything else? So, yeah, since then I've been obsessed with wrestling. And I can actually remember the first episode of Raw I watched, because it was such an obscure episode. It was the draft episode after WrestleMania 25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so of course I went over to his house and we watched Monday Night Raw, and I immediately, like, I saw Rey Mysterio for the first time and was immediately hooked on him. I actually have his mask tattooed on my forearm.
Oh, wow, so cool.
Yeah, so that was pretty much what got me into it, and yeah, since then I've talked about it from sunup to sundown. I am completely captivated by this crazy industry.
I am curious. So obviously Rey Mysterio must be a personal favorite of yours.
Yes, so yeah.
When you first played that game, who did you play as? Who was the character that you just like, you got hooked on?
I think it was Undertaker. It was Undertaker or Mysterio. I don't remember exactly. It was one of the two.
Are those two still to this day your favorites?
You know what? I actually am not a big Undertaker guy.
Wow, okay.
Not a big Undertaker guy. Yeah, love the WrestleMania matches. His match at 26 against Shawn Michaels. Unpopular opinion, but I prefer that one out of the two.
Oh, wow, yeah. So So you say you're not a big Undertaker guy. I've always touted that he's been my favorite for a long time. Oh, yeah. I will say, though, in the last 10 years, the Undertaker has been a relatively boring character for me. So I can understand why he might not be at the top of your list. But back in the day, oh boy, man, he actually used to be amazing back when he wrestled every day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, back in the day. But so you are a big fan of Rey Mysterio. Who else is it? Who else is in your repertoire of favorite wrestlers?
It's going to be a popular answer with a lot of people. CM Punk,
right.
In the 2011 Money in the Bank program with John Cena. That was unreal. I love watching Finn Balor wrestle, actually.
I'm right there with
my
you.
Half of my moves are actually copied from Finn Balor.
The basement drop kick, the sling blade, yeah, all things I saw you do.
Finn Balor, I watch a lot of Kyle O'Reilly.
Good choice, Canadian boy.
A lot of Kenta. Kushida as well. I love watching Kushida.
So you're a big fan of like the junior heavyweights kind of.
Mm-hmm,
like.
Yeah.
Good choice. Finn Balor is my current day favorite wrestler. So.
Oh, yes.
Run.
As is mine.
Yeah, it's that man that. When he first came up to the main roster, 2016 SummerSlam match against Seth Rollins, like that lead up that month.
I was running laps around my house when he beat Reigns. I was like, there's no way. But hey, sure enough.
Dude, I was throwing my hands out to the side every like 5 minutes playing that theme song on repeat. I get
it. Oh yeah. I'll drive to school with it on.
Yeah, I have my own wrestling playlist. I think it's on like 200 songs or something like that. Now, anyways. Yep. So you said you've taken a lot of your movesets and inspiration then, I guess, from Finn Balor. So what would you say, as cheesy it is to say it to a wrestler, what would you say your signature or your finishing move would be?
It's a combination. I put the 619 and the coup de grace together.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I'll hit a 619 and then climb up to the top rope and do a big double stomp.
So I got to ask, because I've always wanted to know this question, because anybody who goes for that double stomp, how do you not kill people with something like that?
Hope for the best.
Well, yeah, I guess your point is like, well, I suppose I'm trying to sometimes, it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. So you won the title back. I'm sorry, when did you say it was? August of 2019?
June 2019.
June of 2019. So you're closing in on a year once again now with that title. So moving forward, is there anybody inside of the PPW that you would love to get your hands on or that you would love to get into a program with?
There's a couple. Yeah, a couple outside of PPW as well. I would really, really like to wrestle Travis Cole.
Oh, tasty Travis Cole, man.
Yeah. Aiden Adams as well.
Great choice, average games.
That show was the very first time that Sydney Steele and I have ever wrestled on a show.
Right.
So I would actually really like to work with Sydney Steele as well.
I would also like that, just putting that out to the powers that be.
Right now the two that like really jump out is Travis Cole. And Aiden Adams, for sure.
Those would be fantastic. I love Tasty Travis Cole. He's the reason I got into Alberta independent wrestling to begin with.
Oh, he's so good. He's so good.
I have literally four pictures of his head in my room right now. Like giant, awesome. Like head shit sized. I brought it to a show one time. I'll send you pictures later.
All right.
But anyways. You've been working now inside of PPW. You've traveled into BC, and you said there's other people outside of PPW around Alberta that you would like to work with. If you could have a couple of dream matches, so let's just say three, approximately, around Alberta, promoters aside, promotions aside, just these dream matchups. Who would we love to see against Jumpin' Josh?
Well, the number one right now is we've actually talked for about a year and a half now is Jack Pride.
Oh, nice choice.
Jack Pride.
Love the
Son of Irish would be a lot of fun.
I have said that. I don't know if you listened to the podcast. But...
I did, I skimmed through it. He's a super cool dude, and I really would really, really want to work with him. Number three, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'd have to think about that one for a minute.
Think about that. Yeah, so I think both of those answers are fantastic. I love Jack Pride. I talk about him in all his greatness all the time. Son of Irish last year had one of my matches of the year against Michael Allen Richard Clark at the Clandestine Society, which was it. And I said on the podcast where I reviewed the PPW show that I would love to see Jumpin' Josh versus Son of Irish because you two both have like this like Darby Allin quality to your move sets almost in like a careless abandon type of way that I love and adore. So that's why I think you two in a ring together would be phenomenal.
Yeah, that one would be a lot of fun.
So moving on, while you think about that third one, outside of Alberta wrestling, obviously you've got your hopes and your dreams. Is it like you would love to work for any big major promotion one day? Is wrestling full time like your future, or is this something that you just like to do here and there? Like, what is the future for Jumpin' Josh?
Oh man, I would love to do this as a career. I would love to do this to like say this is what I do for a living. Mm-hmm. It's really tough right now just because I have a lot of cool opportunities with school with my journalism program. But it was actually kind of funny. I started out the year, I said, all right, I said to my instructors, I said, I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. This is not where my heart is. My heart is with pro wrestling, and I really want to do that. So, I would love to be able to do this for a living.
You must have some very understanding professors for you to walk up and be like, you guys are pretty good, but over here, have you seen this over here?
more understanding and a little bit of a ballsy move on my part, maybe not the smartest one.
Hey, but open communication always leads to the best results, in my opinion.
Exactly. And I like to think I have a good relationship with all my instructors, and they understand how important this is to me and how much I enjoy doing this, so I like to think that they kind of get it.
Now, I got a couple questions for you with regards to this. Sure. You said you've been doing this over 3 years now and that you're 20 years old, which means you've been wrestling since you were a teenager. What? So you must have friends who must look at you and go, what is Josh's obsession with wrestling? And then you must have other friends who go, you have the coolest life in the world right now. Tell us, how has that been for like your social life growing up?
I started training in the beginning of grade 12, and everybody knew me as like, this is the kid that really likes wrestling. I don't know why. I'd show up to school every day in a different wrestling shirt. I had like 14 at the time, probably. So every day I'd just be in a new wrestling shirt, come to school, and, you know, talk to the boys. But, and like, I had always said that always felt like I needed to do this. Like, I just had it in my gut, in my heart. That's like, I have to try this at just some point in my life. And, so I just told everybody, I was like, I'm going to do this, and I don't care what anybody thinks. I got some crap from a few people, 'cause it's not very popular anymore. Like, not right now as it was, especially with, you know, kids that are 14, 15, 16, 17, around there. So that part was a little like, I wasn't too chapped about it because I didn't really care what they thought. A couple of my buddies were like, oh yeah, all right, sweet man, do it up. So they were really cool about it. But the hardest one to convince was my parents.
As I would imagine it would be, especially when you're like, oh, it's my senior year, let me focus elsewhere. You know what I mean?
Let me throw my head at the ground for people's entertainment.
How have they taken to it since?
Well, they've definitely come around. They've definitely come around because they've seen the work and the progress of it. Because I would definitely, I would watch my first match again. I have only seen it like maybe once or twice. But anything after that, I can't watch. I can't watch my own. Like, I just, I hate the idea of watching my own matches back just to, like, pick up on things. Not that I'm saying, like, oh, I'm so good, I don't need to watch my stuff. I just hate watching my stuff because I'm so nitpicky on myself, actually. But, they've seen the progress over the 3 years, and they've definitely come around a lot more to it. It was kind of funny. I told my parents, I said to them, I said, this is something that I am going to regret a lot if I don't get to try it, and I want to try it now. So it began as that, and it's actually really cool. My high school has a judo class that was offered for credits,
awesome.
Like to to your diploma, right? So they said, all right, well, they know the reputation that pro wrestling has. So they said, all right, maybe try something else, and then we will think about letting you do this. So I said, well, what about judo? Judo's pretty close to that. It's, yeah. So they said, all right, do that, and then we'll talk. So I did that for 2 years. I came back, and I said, all right, I did the judo. Let's talk pro wrestling now.
And they were like, damn, I didn't want him
they
to come
like,
back to
oh,
me.
I thought he was going to get out of it. Oh, man. So, yeah, it's actually the crazy the amount of like small world connections I had to PPW outside of even beginning to start. Like, for example, Travis Copeland was my neighbor for 4 years before like any of this.
Really?
Really, yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And then you took his title.
And then I took his title, yeah. That's right. So, yeah, there's like just stuff like that. It's crazy the amount of connections I had to it. So I managed to I got in contact with Kyle. I emailed him. I said, hi, this is who I am. I'm 17 years old. I think I just turned 17. I said, I'm 17 years old. I really want to try this. How do I get into it? He says, all right. Come down to camp on Wednesday and we'll talk. And I went down that Wednesday and it just took off from there.
So when you first walked into a place to train, like you went in for training for your very first day, obviously mm-hmm. having been a fan of wrestling for a long time up to that point, how did it feel kind of getting into a ring for the very first time? Was it like, do you remember that moment, that feeling?
Oh yeah. It was funny when I came down and I talked to Kyle about it. He asked me, he says, how, like, is this the first time like seeing a wrestling ring at this level? And I said, yeah, cause I'd never been that close to a wrestling ring. I never touched one before. I had only seen it from the second bowl of the Saddle Dome in Calgary. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I was like right next to it and I was starting to freak out a little bit. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. So yeah, he asked me, he says, is this like, have you ever touched a ring before? Have you ever stepped into one? Have you ever done anything? And I said, no, this is the closest I've ever been to a ring. And he says, all right, come in, we're gonna learn how to run the ropes. And I did that. And I was like, all right, this is my life now. This is what I'm going to do.
When you got in for the very first time and, you know, you ended your first day and you were beat up and exhausted, was the only thing running through your mind was, I can't wait for tomorrow kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Like, from it. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was funny. Yeah. So for 8 months and probably a little bit after that, I definitely took my lumps and kept my mouth shut and did what I was told. And, it's your classic wrestling training where they break you down and build you back up, right? So it was funny. After my first day, I couldn't, like, sit properly because we had those desks with the, like, chairs connected to them, right? Mm,
yeah.
So I couldn't sit still comfortably because my neck was so tight, my back was so tight, but I just couldn't wipe the smile off my face because I was still on that adrenaline high from the night before.
That's a really cool story. So would you say to anybody, like, let's say, you know, 18 years old, Lethbridge area, worth traveling up to PPW and getting some training from the guys down there?
Yeah. One of the things before I actually started with Kyle in Sydney there was Kyle was talking to me a lot about it. And he told me how much everything costed. And then he explained why it costed what it did. So he said, we don't have the big names like Lance Storm. Like, we're not Lance Storm, and we know that. But we're going to give you, like, a lot of hands-on learning about the little things about wrestling. And that's something that's, like, completely opened my eyes. Whenever Kai would tell me something, I said, wow, I'd never would have even thought of it that way. So it's great, yeah. And Kyle and Sydney are both such experts, and like they know so much about wrestling and they see it in ways that I never even would have thought of. So it's a lot of the little things, which is awesome. And that's the stuff I love about it, is all the little things. And they pick up on that kind of stuff so quickly, and they think about it, and then they can see where you can put it in matches. And yeah, it's fantastic.
That's awesome. All right, I got a couple quick questions here for you, questions I like to ask everybody that I interview here before we wrap everything up here today. If there could ever be a championship title, a belt, or whatever it could be, that has ever existed in wrestling over any promotion, which piece of gold would you like to see around your waist?
That's a good one. Like any promotion ever, like TV, non-TV, anything?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Era, it could be a specialty belt. It could be sword. It could be whatever you want.
Right on. I love the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship title. I think
such
that thing
beautiful
is
belt.
So cool. And it's so different because it's so much tinier than the Heavyweight Championship. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it just looks right.
Well, that's an interesting one, considering how big your belt is there, Mr. Cruiserweight Champion.
Yeah.
That was a fun line that you had there against Sydney Steele, where you held up your belt and you said, "Hey, Sydney, mine's bigger." I popped big in the audience for that.
Yeah, well, it's funny, actually. Our heavyweight title belt is actually smaller than our cruiserweight belt.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So I figured I had to pepper that one in there. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So obviously you're a fan of New Japan, and it makes a lot of sense now what you've said. People like Kenta and people like Kushida and Finn Balor. So you got to tell me some of your favorite IWGP heavy or matches, not heavyweight, just IWGP heavy. I said it again. Some of your favorite New Japan matches.
Well, obviously I got to talk about Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah.
We'll just knock that one off
the
list
easy
already.
One to put, like all yeah, four, we'll just wrap
knock
them up
that
in
one off
one.
The list quick. Yeah. Actually I'm a bit of a New Japan bandwagoner, I'll admit.
Oh yeah. That's fair. That's fine.
The first New Japan show I watched was Wrestle Kingdom 9, and I watched it live too, because I didn't have school the next day.
Right.
So the match that like really got me into
Wait,
it was...
before you say it, can I guess what it was? Was it Nakamura versus Ibushi?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the best.
Yeah, it was. That one and the AJ Styles match were both fantastic.
Such good matches.
As soon as the show finished, it was like 4:30 in the morning. I was like, all right. I am obsessed with this. So, yeah, I just watched all the New Japan I could. So easily some of my favorites are from that Wrestle Kingdom 9 show. The Okada and Tanahashi match was fantastic.
Mm-hmm, right, yeah.
And then the one from the next year was great, too.
Yes. Every Wrestle Kingdom seems to stack up like that.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Wrestle Kingdoms are crazy, man.
Yeah. The AJ Styles Nakamura match was unreal. That match was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the
New Japan one, we should clarify, not the wrestling, the WWE.
Yeah. that one, it was actually really funny when Nakamura got signed to WWE. I was watching that takeover, the Dallas one, and that still remains my favorite takeover of all time, because of that Nakamura Sami Zayn match. And I was so hyped
that
up that
match
he got signed.
Was so good.
It was fantastic. It was I was hyping my buddy up, and he just wasn't buying. He's like, I don't know about this Nakamura guy, man. I don't get the hype. I don't see why you're so excited about it. I was like, oh, you just watch. And after the bell rung, the match was over. I looked over at him and I went, huh? And he goes, all right, that was pretty good.
You sound like the type of person I need at my watch parties, because I get really into it. And you sound like the type of person who'd be right there like humming Nakamura's theme with everybody. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was funny. My good friend of mine, I don't want to be the guy like, oh, I got to give a shout out to all my boys. But I got to give a little shout out to my buddy Austin, right? He and I, like, I've known him for almost like 10 years now, probably longer than that, and he loves wrestling like I do. And at our local movie theater, they would play all the pay-per-views here, all the WWE ones. And when we were kids, we of course couldn't afford the $80 pay-per-views.
Right.
So we go to the movie theater and spend $10 and go watch the pay-per-views. So when the AJ Styles Rumble debut, we watched that at the theater. We was like, let's just go just for old time's sake. We were like running laps around the theater. We were so excited.
How much did it annoy you that they held on Roman's face for so long?
It was funny because nobody knew who it was, right? They didn't show. They just had like an intro to some gangster rap song,
right?
So nobody knew who it was. I don't know. Looking back, I wasn't thinking about that really a whole lot after he came out.
No, fair enough. You were just excited. You're like, oh my god, AJ Styles is here.
Yeah, but after the show, I was like, well, that was kind of stupid. Why did they do that? Yeah.
Well, it's. I won't say that WWE has the worst booking in professional wrestling, but sometimes they misuse characters, and that's the way I'll say that.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, before we do let you go here today, you got to plug some of your stuff. Where can people find you? Where can people get in touch with you and find all your info?
Really, I'm the most active on Instagram mostly. I know I got to change that. I got to go to Twitter here. But yeah, my Instagram is jumping with no G, dot Josh, just like that. That's really where I'm the most active. I do most of my stuff there. Facebook, I'm terrible with. I will get better on that. Jumping apostrophe, no G again, Josh. I believe you'll be able to find my Facebook page there. Those are really the only two. I don't have a Twitter set up for wrestling. I'll do that probably tomorrow. I will get back to you on that on the Twitter one, but those are two of the places you can probably find me the best. Pure Power Wrestling is also on YouTube. That is another great way you can see not only myself, but every other member of the roster. We are Pure Power Wrestling on YouTube, just Pure Power Wrestling. If you type into your search bar, all of our Power Slam stuff will come up, and it's fantastic from the beginning to the end. It's just great.
Fantastic. Thank you again, Josh, for joining me here today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Well, I hope you have yourself a fantastic day. I can't wait to get down to Lethbridge once again to watch you guys wrestle down there in the PPW. The Power Rumble was fantastic, and hopefully once this whole COVID-19 thing breaks, we can actually enjoy some local wrestling once and again.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, thank you very much for having me. This is actually the first time I've done like a podcast-style interview for this, or like really an interview at all. For my wrestling stuff. So thanks very much, my man.
Thank you. So that should just be a plug right there to everybody listening. Look how comfortable he was talking here on his first ever podcast. Give him 3 years of training and throw him in a wrestling ring, and you've got Jumpin' Josh. That's why you need to go see Jumpin' Josh in a ring.
Thank you.
No problem. All right, you have yourself a wonderful day, buddy.
Thanks, man. Stay warm, me.
You too.
All right, thank you very much again.
Bye. Man, what a great little chat I had there with Jumpin' Josh, the PPW Cruiserweight Champion, only 20 years old, and he's such a natural already, be it how comfortable he is in the ring, how comfortable he is on the mic. That kid is going places, and I can't wait to see where his career develops a year down the line, 5 years, 10 years. Jumpin' Josh is going to be somebody that you're going to have to be looking out for. So remember to go check him out on all those different social medias. PPW has done a great job using Jumpin' Josh up to this point. I've done a great job building him, and PPW is killing it. If you guys have not made it down to Lethbridge to catch a PPW show, you really got to make it down there. The production value is top notch. It's a killer promotion. I can't wait for my next PPW show. I'm so excited. But anyways, thank you all for tuning in here today. If you like this show, remember to hit that like button or subscribe on whatever podcast app you're listening to this on. It also does help out the show immensely if you give us a 5-star rating and review, if that is what you want to do. Once again, if you guys want, my website over at WrestleSode.com has gotten a massive facelift. There's still obviously a couple of things that need to be updated and changed in there. Everything will be added as time comes, but content is being uploaded there now. So go check out WrestleSode.com and take a look and tell me what you think and give me any of your feedback that you have. And once again, don't forget to check out the Wind Column Sports Network over at WindColumnSports.ca. They work tirelessly, we all do, to try to make sure that Alberta has got all the best wrestling coverage that it can possibly have. And we all work as hard as we possibly can to make sure that we're providing the best coverage possible for all of you. So thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you all have yourself a wonderful day.